You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, January 27th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, What to Do When You Miss Your Flight.
Bible, please, and go back, if you will, book of John, chapter 7, book of John, chapter 7, verse 16, where Jesus answering them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. Verse 17, and if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I want you to notice some things here. He said part of the understanding about the will of God is doing what you know is the will of God. See, God will show you more of the will of God if you just get busy doing what you know is right to do. You know, you think about this. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Is that right? Then he said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Is that right? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. All right? So it just goes to show you that if a person will take and do what Jesus was sent of the Father to do, and that is soul winning, and what Jesus has sent us to do, that is soul winning, then the Bible says, I've got some extra wisdom for you. He that winneth souls is wise. So if I were you and I wanted all the wisdom of God that God could give you, I would practice soul winning. I'd practice getting out there, handing out tracts. I'd practice talking to people. If you want God to help you in a deeper fashion, yes, read your Bible. Yes, pray. Yes, attend all the services, but don't cut out the soul winning. Make sure that you're a part of a growing process that God wants you to be a part of in your personal life. Hey, you heard about the three preachers. There was a Methodist, there was a Presbyterian, and there was a Baptist. And they were sitting at the table, and they were talking. And they started to say, well, you know, hey, I'm a better preacher than you are. The other said, no, I'm a better preacher than you are. The other one said, no, I'm a better preacher than you are. The Methodist said, well, I can prove it. George Whitefield was a famous Methodist. Benjamin Franklin heard him preach several times and said that standing on a flat field, you could hear his voice for over a quarter of a mile. Didn't have a PA. He would preach until his throat would bleed and he'd be spitting up blood. He said, so I know, this Methodist said, I can out-preach you guys. Presbyterian spoke up, said, have you never heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. Have you never heard of him? Man, he preached and over 1 million people walked the aisle receiving Christ. The Baptist spoke up, said, haven't you heard of John the Baptist? The Lord said about John the Baptist, there's no greater one born among women than John the Baptist. He said, so the Lord said, and he was a Baptist. Methodist said, hey, look, we can prove it. We can prove it. They went out, got a skunk, put the skunk in the corn bin. The corn bin, you know where the corn is, the old bin. The crib, okay, the corn crib. Okay, put the skunk in there. He said, let's see who can stay in there the longest. Methodist said, I'll go first. I can stay in there and preach. He said, and that approved. If I can stay in there and preach the longest with the skunk, God's going to use me greater. He went in, came out 15 minutes later. He said, man, I can't take it no longer. I mean, the skunk, it's killing me. Can't take it no longer. Presbyterian said, oh, I can do better than that. He went in and stayed for 25 minutes. He came out and said, man, I can't take it no longer. Baptist said, I can do better than that. He went in. 20 minutes went by. 25 minutes went by. 35 minutes went by. 45 minutes went by. Skunk came running out and said, can't take it no longer. By the way, if you listen real good tonight, I'll try and preach short enough that you won't have to say, I can't take it no longer. I was in the Philippines, and it never happened to me before. Honest, never happened to me before. I've really done some unusual, dumb things. But this was probably the dumbest so far. I was excited. Conference is over. Had a good conference. A lot of pastors came. 700, something like that, saved. I mean, hey, that was good. I mean, God worked. I mean, it was a good week. We just had a few that went in their group. Matter of fact, it was me and one other preacher that went. And then there was a man that I became a friend with, Dr. Piper, that joined us from Sydney, Australia. And he joined the group. And I used him. He preached, did a good job. We became good friends. But God just began to work. Jared was the other preacher that came from our church. Well, Brother Wattenberger went too. So I had two other preachers that went. So Jared, the one other preacher that came from our church that went with me. And then, of course, Brother Wattenberger went as another preacher. So but our team was small. It was just small. There was a lot of work to do, but just a few of us being able to do that work, I was exhausted by the time it got done. I was just tired. And so I decided I would stay over one day, kind of get some rest and stuff like that. So the conference is over. And I always do planning to plan out things. Just like when we have a big day here, we start planning the next big day right after that big day is over. We have youth conference here, a youth revival. We start planning that right after it's over. And so we know how to plan things. And so I had a down day. I thought, man, that's great. I'm going to go out and plan it. So I got with the pastor and whatnot. We sat down. We planned it for next year, how we could get more preachers there, et cetera. Yeah, the day was going great. I mean, had a great breakfast. He picked me up at 9:20. We went into a planning meeting from 9:20 till 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Finished everything. And I thought, hey, this is great. I'm going to go get a haircut. Hey, in the Philippines, when you get a haircut, they give you a massage. How do you like that? You pay $4. You get a haircut and a massage. Over here, they charge you $12 to $15, and they just smack you on the back as you're getting out of the chair. But man, you know, and so I went out, got a haircut. Wow, you know, that guy massaging me. I mean, hey, that's great. That's great. Took my time. I was a mile from the hotel. I thought, I'm not going to take and get a cab. I think I'm just going to walk. And so I walked a mile back to the hotel, getting some good exercise, you know, stuff like that. And so I got to the hotel, decided to eat an early supper. So I'm sitting there eating an early supper. I drank 4 cups of coffee after just relaxing, you know, and 4 cups of coffee. And just enjoyed it. I went to my hotel room, thought, hey, I'm chilling out tonight. I've got to preach. Their soul winning meeting on Saturdays is at 6:30 a.m. They have about 600 soul winners that come out or so, and it's 6:30 a.m. And so did you preach that when you were there? You were there. Too early for you, wasn't it? You know, at 6:30 in the morning. And so Brother DeSalva said, hey, can you come preach the soul winning meeting next day? I thought, sure, my plane's not leaving until 6 o'clock Saturday night. No problem. So I got in the hotel, took a shower, put my pajamas on. It's now 10 after 6. Man, I thought, I'm going to just double check my ticket just to make sure. Looked at my ticket. My plane just left 10 minutes ago. I thought, I think I'm in trouble. I just missed the plane to America. I think I'm in trouble. And so I called the pastor up. I said, look, I think I've got a little problem here. I just looked at my ticket, and my plane just left 10 minutes ago. He said, you're kidding. I said, do I kid? I said, I may kid with you, but I'm not kidding with me. And I said, you got to get here. And he said, well, I'm 40 minutes away. I said, well hurry. I mean, I've already missed the plane, can't do anything about it, but just hurry. You get here, I'll pack, we'll go to the airport, we'll work something out. And so we got to the airport and tried to work that Philippine airline to fly over to Manila, which was what I was supposed to do, then hop Korean Air and come back. Only problem was, next flight out was 9 o'clock at night. The international plane was going to leave at something like 10:30. It's an hour and 15-minute flight to Manila. So I would have had 45 minutes to get my luggage, go from a domestic airport to an international airport. You staying with me? To an international airport to check in, to go through all the security checks, to get on the plane, get my ticket. Wasn't going to happen. Just impossible. So I thought, okay, we got to check with Korean Air. Heard the Korean people are really kind. So I thought, I'm going to check with Korean Air. So I went in Korean Air, and one of the pastors was with me. I walked in and said, look, got a problem. You got to help me. I got to get back to America. And so no problem with them. They punched a couple of buttons, boom, 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 done. Now, may I say, I learned something from that process. By the way, just want to let you know, I'm here tonight. It worked, all right? But let me show you some things. I want to speak tonight on what do you do when you miss your flight? What do you do? We're going to get deep. What do you do when you miss your flight? Let me give you some practical things. Hey, I'm sitting there in the airport, and I'm thinking about this, and I thought, you know, there's got to be a spiritual. God's trying. I told Pastor June as we were driving over to the airport, I said, you know, and you know, he's doing a great job. Man, we're passing buses, you know. I mean, these buses are two tiers out. There's only two lanes. And I said, we got behind this truck, and I said, hey, look, I'd like to get there soon. Can you just go around these people? And so he did. We're going down. I mean, this is like four lanes, right? And there's vehicles here. We're behind the vehicles that are here where we're supposed to be. He just pulls out. We turn it into three lanes. And we're driving, and, you know, he's just waving at people, and they're... Let me give you some statements tonight. Statement number one, what do you do when you miss your flight? Number one, don't panic. Realize it's not the end of the world. I listened to the men preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I thought, okay, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to panic. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to get to the air. I believe the Lord was just going to work it out. Listen to it. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, here's what it says. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer. And by the way, did we pray? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to it. As you come to God and you're in a stressful situation, as you come to God and things are tense, as you come to God and it just seems like that, boy, you just don't know what the end is going to be. Here's what it says. He says, be careful. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't put yourself on. Don't panic. All of a sudden, when there's a stressful, that it's not the end of the world. Don't panic. By the way, you know, all these people that are date setters, have you seen them? Date setters, the end of the world is here. And they sell, they get people to sell everything, give it to their corporation. All right, now you can't be a date setter. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it says. It says here in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, man don't understand it. Man just don't understand it. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what do you do all of a sudden when you miss your flight? What do you do when you get out of step? What do you do when something hits you broadside? Here's what you don't do. You don't panic. God is in control. God can help. Years ago, there was a little boy. He was riding along with his father. It was a summer day, had the window partially down, and a bee came in. The boy had a high allergic reaction to bee stings. And this bee came in, was swarming around his face. He became panicky and started to cry. Just a little boy started to cry and didn't want to get stung by the bee. Dad caught the bee. When he caught the bee, of course, the stinger went into the dad's hand. After a little bit, Dad threw the bee back up. The bee started to buzz around the kid's head again. The kid started to get panicky. He said, son, don't get panicky. I took the stinger. I took the stinger. You don't have to worry about that bee. I took the stinger. Do you realize most of the things that you worry about, you don't have to worry about because God's already took the stinger? Do you realize that most of the things that you panic about in life is not worth panicking about because God is the one that just removed the stinger? I'm saying tonight, don't panic. Realize the end of the world is not yet here. Statement number two, call for help. Call for help. All of a sudden, when you feel like, man, I misstepped, when you feel like, boy, I tell you what, did something should not have done, I made a decision should not have made, all of a sudden, when it seems like that you said something you shouldn't have said, what do? You get somebody else involved that can help you more greatly than you can help yourself. So what do? You call for help. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. You know what a true friend is? A true friend is somebody that's there for you when it seems like everybody else has left. That's a friend. You know what a friend is? A friend is somebody that loves you and gives you understanding and grace when nobody else gives you understanding and grace. That's a friend. A friend accepts you when you're up and when you're down. A friend accepts you when you're doing well and when you're not doing well. Everybody needs a friend. My Bible says, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hey, he's there for you. When your hard times come, he's right there for you. Listen to it. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When you call and you get God involved, God can change things that you can't change. He says, call upon me, I'll answer you. Matter of fact, he says, I'll answer you in such a way that I'll show you great and mighty things you never knew before. That's what he says. Hey, when you get God involved, God can change things. So what do? All of a sudden, when you misstep, all of a sudden when something happens in your life, all of a sudden when you take and you do something you should not have done, what do? Hey, don't panic about it. Sit down, rationally think it through. The end of the world has not yet come, and call for help. Call for reinforcements. Get somebody else involved. Little boy walked into a candy shop. Store owner said, hey, son, would you like some candy? And he said, mm-hmm. He said, would you like to stick your hand in the jar? He said, mm-mm. Oh, store owner said, go ahead, son, stick your hand in the jar. Take as much as you want. He said, mm-mm. Oh, come on, son, you want some candy, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, stick your hand in a jar. Get as much as you want. Mm-mm. Son, I'm telling you, it's there for you. Put your little hand in the jar. Get the candy. No, sir. Would you like for me to get some candy for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Store owner took his hand, put it in the jar, came out. Mom got outside, said, son, why didn't you put your hand in the jar? He said, because his hand was bigger than mine. Listen, when trouble comes, his hand's bigger than yours. You say, I just don't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. When trouble comes, when problems come, you go to God. God can help you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's there. He's not going to forsake you. He'll be beside your side. When everybody walks out on you and everybody turns their back on you, God is still there and God can help you. I'm saying tonight, don't panic. Realize it's not the end of the world yet. Statement number two, you call for help. Statement number three, you get to your airport as quick as you can. I was pastoring in Tennessee. I'd walk into the auditorium, and all of a sudden I'd see Wayman Dyer. You remember this, Mrs. Wells? I'd see Wayman Dyer often on the stairs of the altar. I go up to Wayman. He worked across the street. There was a Coca-Cola company. I go up to Wayman, and I say, hey, what are you doing? He said, it's going to be a rough day. I just need to meet with God first. He'd come across the street, and he would pray before he went to work. Going to be a rough day. Just need to meet with God first. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying this. You get to God, get to the church, get to a place where you can get help as quick as you can. Hey, these guys on the platform are not up here because they look pretty. They don't look pretty, but they can help you. A Sunday school teacher's not there because all of a sudden we chose somebody that knew how to tie a tie. Have you seen some of our Sunday school teachers' ties? But they can help you. Adults that's in this church that care about young people. You know, hey, listen, do you realize what God is doing here at Parkside Baptist Church? Do you see the caliber of people that God is sending us? Isn't it amazing what God is doing? Now, wait a minute. God sends somebody here. We're a church family. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I sure didn't miss my church family when I was in the Philippines. Man, I appreciate all the texts. Appreciate all the... My wife's going to send you the bill. Appreciate all the texts. Appreciate all the emails. I had a couple of telephone calls. Man, I just came home, all the cards, down by pastor's office. Man, all little kids coming up. Glad you're back. Brother Lofton's kids coming up. Glad you're back. I'm thinking, okay, which one are you? What am I saying? I'm saying this. You get to the airport as quick as you can. Here's what David said about the house of God. Psalm 122 in verse 1. Here's what it says. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. You realize that 10% of church members in America can't be found? 10% can't find them. 20% of them that are church members in America never attend. 25% admit that they never pray. Talk about church members. 35% said they never read their Bible. 35%. 40% said they never contribute anything to the church, including tithes and offerings. Then they wonder how come God's not blessing them financially. That's a duh. 60% never give to missions. 70% never assume any responsibility in the church. They're attenders only. They come, bless me if you can. 85% never invite anybody to come to church their whole life. Never give out a tract. Never say, hey, will you come? Be a friend on a certain day. 85%. 95% church members say, I've never won anybody to Jesus Christ. 95%. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this. Man, you get to the place that can help you. In my case over there, it was the airport. In our situation, hey, it's the church house. Hey, thank God for your trips, but don't substitute church for your trips. Thank God for an opportunity to go hunting. Hey, thank God for it. Don't miss church to go hunting. Keep God first. Thank God that you have opportunity when you go on vacation. But when you go on vacation, great lesson for your children. Be in church. Be in church. Okay? So get to the airport quickly. Statement number next. Find someone in authority that can make a difference once you arrive. Find someone in authority that can make a difference once you arrive. Man, you got a big problem? Hey, take the big ones to the pastor. You need somebody to help you blow your nose? Hey, get these guys to help you. But what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying find somebody that's an authority to, hey, get somebody to help you make a difference in your life. Go to that Sunday school teacher. Go to an assistant pastor. By the way, I'm not jealous. Are you listening to me? You love him more than you love me. I say, man, I'm glad for him. That's good. I really don't care. Only thing I ever asked when I came here, Brother May had just left, a lot of emptiness in the hearts. Here's what I told the people. I said, look, I don't care if you love Brother May more than you love me. Only thing I ask you to do is let me love you. Made that statement over and over and over again. I don't care what you buy him. I don't care what you give him. Hey, I'm for loving people. Only thing I ask you let me do is let me love you. That's the only thing I ask. So one day your child gets ready to get married and you say, man, you know, Dr. Bulkley led us to Christ. He's been here since the day of Noah and I want him to marry my children. You say, would that be okay? Absolutely. Well, Brother Palmore, you know, man, he led me to Christ. And now I tell you what, I think that I'm going to go see Jesus soon. Preacher, would it be okay if he preaches my funeral? Sure. No problem. Hey, you know, here's a young man, been working with children all over America. Hey, would it be okay if I get Brother Jonathan to lead my child to Christ? Absolutely. Educator, a former pastor, doing a great job at Lone Star. Amen. Hey, can I trust him to be able to direct my child educationally so that they get the balance they need so they can go out in the ministry and perform at their peak for Jesus Christ? Sure. Can I trust his insight? Absolutely. Are you listening to me? I'm saying this. I'm saying that the Bible teaches here, hey, you get with somebody that has the authority to make a difference. Here's what it says, Jude 22. And some, it says, have compassion, making a difference. making a difference. You find somebody that cares. You find somebody. Look, don't be a dead saint. Dead saint has pigeons that sit all over it. Good for nothing. You be like the dry saint, if you will. At least if you're dry, we can light you up. Come on. Average person comes to church. I'm telling you. Average person comes to church, never goes to an altar. Sits there, says, bless me if you can. I dare you to get inside of me. Dare you. You got the audacity to try and speak and let the Holy Ghost use you to speak to my heart? Who do you think you are? You know, a preacher, all he is a water boy from God. That's all he is. That's all. You're not messing with the preacher. You're messing with God. Hey, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand when all of a sudden something goes wrong in your life, don't panic. Don't panic. End of the world's not coming. Realize it's okay. What do? You call for help quick. You get to a place that can help you. Hey, get to the church. Get to some people that are more spiritual, quote unquote, than presently you yourself are. What do? You find someone in authority that can make a difference. You find somebody that can give you insight that you do not have. A statement number five, then you work out all the adjusting details. Work it out. You know, when a person backslides, that's an effort on their part. Did you hear what I said? Somebody says, well, I backslid by accident. You did not. You chose not to come to church. You chose not to put God first. That was on your part. That was your decision, just like it was your decision to come to church. Person says, well, I tell you what, I backslid. No, you chose not to go soul winning. The choice. Well, I backslid, preacher. No, you chose to rob God. You chose not to tithe. Man, don't give me those lame brain excuses. Well, I tell you what, I tripped and I fell. If you weren't walking down the wrong path, you wouldn't have tripped and you wouldn't have fell. Well, preacher, I got carried away by somebody else. You chose to ride piggyback. You chose. We have to understand that life is about choices. Well, what do? Well, here's what it says. Over in Psalm 119, verse 133, it says, order my steps in thy word. So he says, I'm going to tell you in the word of God where to put your foot down. I'll tell you which way to go. Listen to it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, for this cause, it says, left I thee in Crete. Listen to what it says, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And it says, ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. He said, look, I left you there for a purpose so that you can train leaders, so that leaders can go out and fulfill the other purposes that I have. He said, that's the reason I left you in Crete. All right, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so a person comes and they say, well, I tell you what, I want to get right with God, but I'm not willing to work on the details. Then you don't want to get right with God. That's like a person saying, well, I want to be blessed financially, but I'm not willing to work with the finances in order to get a greater gain. You understand? Well, I want God, I really want you to bless me in my family. I want to raise godly children. But you don't make your children do godly things. How are you going to get a godly child out of a child that doesn't do godly things? How are you going to do it? Well, preacher, I tell you what, I want my child to be spiritual. But they don't come soul winning. They don't come to church, don't read their Bible. What are you going to get? Look, this is not hard. But it is reality. What do? You work out adjusting details. Okay, here you go. Come on, stand up. Illustration time. Turn that way. Okay, here we go. Come here. Back up. Stand there. You're representing the Lord. Get rid of your Bible. All right, let him use it. All right, watch this. There's the Lord. He's got truth. I'm going to show you something. Let me show you what backsliding is. Are you ready? There was a day when he was walking towards the Lord. Little steps, but still good steps. A little step is better than no step. All right? He's taking his little steps, getting older and older and older. Okay? Here he is, older older, real old. Good. Now watch what happens, okay? Getting older in the Lord. What, don't go down too farther. What happens is this. The older he gets, the more he becomes self-centered. I've got all these troubles. I got all these problems. I got all this pain. I got all these things that have come up in my life. And what happens is this. Most of the time, we just keep piling stuff up in the wrong pile, and eventually the pile becomes overwhelming. So what happens is this. He said, man, I'm just tired. I just think I need a break. Instead of going to the one where the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, he turns his back on the only one that can give him strength. Doesn't make any sense. When he needs God most, when he needs God worse, he turns his back on God. Hello? You know, the older you get, the more you should pray. The older you get, the more faithful you should become. The older you get, hey, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How do I renew my strength? I simply serve the Lord even more. Let me show you what backsliding is. Stand up. Let me show you what backsliding is. Backsliding is this. You simply turn your back on him. And by the way, years ago, are you listening to me? There was a preacher God used in your life. You listen to Bible truth. Truth has not changed. Truth is still truth. You have a pastor now. By the way, you've got different people now. Sunday school teachers. It doesn't change the truth. That's like a new kid coming into your Sunday school class. Came here from another state. Came here from the community. New Christian. You don't turn your back on them. You turn towards them. You help them. All right, wait, watch this. Be seated. Here it is. So what do? Here's what you do. You work out adjusting details. Work them out. Okay? Just like all of a sudden he turned his back this way and said, well, I don't agree with that. I'm going to go my own way. God, I know what you want, but, okay? All he has to do to get right with God is this. Just turn back around. See how easy that is? All right, listen to it. Here it is. So don't panic. Realize it's not the end of the world. Well, I'm talking about when you make a wrong decision. You call for help. You get to the airport as quick as you can. Get to the church. Get to a place where you can learn what to do. Find someone has authority to make a difference. Work out the adjusting details. Almost done. Here it is. Pay the cost necessary. Might cost you something now. Cost you a little bit more to be able to work out a right detail. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, the Bible says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? I turned to this pastor sitting beside me. I said, man, God's going to have to work it out. I can't afford two tickets. So we really need to pray because I can't afford two tickets. Cost me $1,700 to go. I can't afford another $1,700. I can't afford another $1,000 to get home. So God's just going to have to work something out. Now, may I say, you might have to pay more to get back to where you should be. It might not work out to your benefit where you just have to pay a marginal price. You know, some people that get in debt of sin has to pay more in order to get out of the debt of sin. You can't go by the feeling. Well, there was days when I felt like I was close to God. Yeah, but you felt funny on a ride too. Can't go by the feeling. You felt funny when you ate that food last week. Can't go by a feeling. You felt funny when you, come on. You know, his faith promise healers, you know this? These people that claim that they heal people. Did you know that the insurance that is on these guys is more than on a regular preacher? Because when they go to heal somebody, they hurt them. So insurance companies make them pay more. Kind of let you know it's not right, is it? Kind of let you know something phony about that. Hey, I was on a plane. I was flying someplace. A pastor friend of mine was on a plane. He was flying someplace else. We're going to meet up later to preach. And we talked to people on the plane. We find out about their background, stuff like that. He told me, he said, man, he said, you'll never believe who I sat beside on my trip. I said, who'd you sit beside? He said, I sat beside the electrical engineer for Benny Hinn. The electrical engineer for Benny Hinn? What are you talking about? He said, there's circles that's on the platform that are electrically charged. And this was what the electrical engineer said. You're looking at me funny. And so, Mr. Benny Hinn would walk over to a person, bring the person to stand right there, put his hand on him. Electrical charge. Fall out. Hey, the guy made over $700,000 a year just for pressing a button. You say, preacher, that's not right. I didn't say it was right. I think maybe we ought to get some of that up here. You'll press the button, won't you? Who do you want to stand in the circle? Derek volunteers. Sometimes it costs you more. Let me give you one last statement. Two last statements. Four last statements. Just two. Learn from your mistakes. Preacher, why? I don't understand. Why did I go through that? Well, first off, you chose to. But second off, since you did go down the path, don't you think you learned something from it that you could tell somebody else not to do it? Don't you could tell? Can't you tell them, boy, I went down that path myself, and let me tell you the end result of that, I got hurt. Can't you tell somebody, boy, I love you enough, I went down that road, you don't need to. Hey, let me hurry. Here it is. Psalm 119, verse 71, the Bible says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn my statutes. He said, man, it was good I was afflicted. Hey, don't get bitter at God. I can't stand it. Man, all of a sudden, here's a guy that gets off path, and he walks, and he walks, and he walks down the wrong path. And he said, God, it's your fault. You turned your back on me. No, you walked away. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're the one left him. He didn't leave you. He didn't quit on you. You quit on him. So what do? You go back to him. Hey, it's going to be a good day in the house of God when you put him first and keep him first. It's going to be a good day in the house of God when all of a sudden you say, I commit myself for the rest of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and let God be God in your life. I'm saying tonight, you pay the necessary cost. Last statement. You learn from your mistakes. Ready? Here it is. Then you praise God and enjoy your flight. You pray, damn, when I got on the plane, I'm telling you, it was done. Got on the plane. It didn't matter. I didn't rethink it. I didn't have to rethink it. I didn't have to go back and regret. You know why? Because now I'm on the right path. I didn't have to go back and relive. Boy, I tell you what, never packed a suitcase as quick as I did that. Nothing folded. Dirty clothes piled on clean clothes. Everything just thrown together. Iron's over there. This is over there. That's dumped in there. Zipped up, running down. Come on, let's go. Hey, look, past the guy. Go around the guy. Got to get to the... Hello? Getting him excited. Now, wait a minute, watch this. But once you're in the right place, hey, chill out, relax. I don't die on God. Don't become a church member and be dead wood. Come on. At least let somebody spark you. Let somebody encourage you. Can I tell you something? People that come to church and never get involved normally die off. They normally die off. People who come to church never go soul winning. You know why? Because they don't have a purpose. They just show up, and because it's not important to them, they'll show up late. Ah, doesn't matter to me. They'll be waiting. Hey, he's only got just a few more minutes. See if he finishes on time. Worried about their time. Come on. All right, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying, what do? Hey, you mess up. Hey, you do something wrong. You sin. You come short. What do? Hey, don't panic. It's not over. You still got a life. You can still serve God. You can still go forward. What do? You call for help. First person you should call is God. God, help me. God, give me somebody in my life that cares. Help me put somebody in my life that's not stuck on me, stuck on themselves. Give me somebody that truly wants to help. You call on God. What do? You get to a place where you can be helped. What do? You find somebody in authority to say, hey, look, can you help me, please? I don't know what to do. The apostle Paul got saved. First people he went to was to the apostles, to the disciples. He said, look, can I come with you? That's the first people he tried to connect up to. Why? Because he knew they were making a difference. You want to be red hot? Find yourself somebody red hot for God. Don't find somebody that's always complaining, always criticizing. Well, I don't agree about this. And, they'll never be used of God. God's going to write Ichabod. You find somebody that's red hot. Find somebody that says, I'm going to serve Jesus. Find somebody that wants to go soul winning. Find somebody that wants to have greater standards than less standards. Hey, I'm saying tonight, work out some adjustments. Hey, it might cost you something. Pay the cost. Learn from your mistakes. Then praise God that you're not like you were. Your Christian life should always be moving forward. Always. Harry S. Ironside said this, if you were hotter for God yesterday than you are today, you're backslidden. Find out when you were the hottest for God in your life. Let that be your temperature gauge. Hello? Now, if you're sick and you can't serve God, here's what you can do. You can do other things to make a difference. Couldn't help it, Mrs. Bryant. Bryant kids couldn't help it. I was kind of hoping. I heard Brother Jonathan text me, or Mrs. Wells, one of them, said, you'll be amazed at how many families are watching the live stream. And I love you. But here's what I thought. Man, I hope they're not watching. Because I gave illustration about Brother Bryant. I gave illustration about a man that was hurting and just kept going. I don't care what you have to say, but that bore testimony in my soul that I'll never forget. And I gave testimony of how he just kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. You said, well, you don't understand, Brother Wells. You just don't understand. No, I do understand. Because what's in here comes out here. Comes out. My Bible says that a just man riseth again. And so, wait a minute. So what do? I praise God while in the flight. Last statements. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, for this is a holy day unto our God, unto our Lord, it says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where can you find the joy of the Lord? Around Christian brothers. Where can you find encouragement to raise a godly family? Around other godly families. Hey, where can you get preaching that's going to help? From a pulpit that gives you preaching that helps. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee. Listen to this, the importance of the church. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He says, it's my church. I'm going to build it. How does he build it? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So how's he build the church? We go out, we give the gospel, somebody gets saved, they come to church. What's he doing? They get baptized. He's building his church. Any church that's obeying God should be a growing church. Should be a growing church. All right? And so God's going to add to his church. He didn't say, I'm going to subtract from the church. He's going to add to it. He's always going to add to it. So a church that has God at heart will always be an adding to type of church. Be a growing type of church. Over in the book of Ephesians, let me show you how much he loves it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself, get it, gave himself for it. So Christ loves the church as much as you love your wife. Got a question for you. How would you feel if your wife started flirting with somebody else? How would you feel? How would you feel if your husband started stepping out on you? How would you feel? See, he talks about the church as being the bride. Stay with me now. And so he said, I love the church so much I gave myself for it. Gave myself for it. Now, if he loved the church that much, shouldn't you love the church that much? You know, when a person steps out of church and doesn't come to church, God takes it as a personal slap. Like it, don't like it, Bible. You know why? Because that's what his son shed his blood and died for. For those individuals that comprisively make up that church. Here's what it says, Psalm 133, last verse. I promise. Psalm 133, verse 1. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, man, it's good and it's pleasurable when we come together in unity. He said, that's a good thing. Now, wait a minute. So he says, look, I build the church. I add people to the church. What are we supposed to do inside the church? We're supposed to love the church. Bible says to love the brethren. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love people, be patient with people. Hey, don't step out on them. Come on. All right. Then the Bible talks about how he says, hey, dwell together in unity. Just enjoy it. Enjoy. Come to church. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy the preaching. You say, but it cuts me. Yeah, he said, I didn't come to bring. He said, but a sword. So yeah, it's going to cut you sometimes. Yeah, the word of God is going to work on. Isn't it something how we always want it to cut people, the people we're thinking about that we ourselves say they need to be cut? Well, I wish you would preach on this. The reason he's not preaching on that is because the Holy Ghost said you need this. Maybe if you would get this right, he would release the preacher to preach on this, but he can't go any farther because you're the stoppage that's causing the stoppage. Hello? You know, if we ever got to the point where we get thoroughly right with God, there'd be a revival like nothing. I mean, it would just be nonstop. Can you imagine? Preacher gets up and he reads the Bible. All of a sudden, people come to the altar weeping, saying, oh, I got to get right. I preached on Tuesday night. A lot of Filipinos would do this. On their birthday, they tell their friends, hey, would you give me a birthday present? You want me to give you a birthday present? What's the birthday present? Come to church with me on my birthday. That's all I want. Would you give me a birthday present? Come to church with me on my birthday. There's a young guy, college age guy, came up to me after I preached on Tuesday night. He said, preacher, it's my birthday. I said, you got some friends? He said, yeah, I got two of my college professors here. Can you go talk to them about Christ? I said, man, be glad to. Let's go. He took me over. It was a man and a woman. And I said, hey, look. He said, it's his birthday. You came to celebrate his birthday tonight. And he wants to make sure that you also know how to celebrate a birthday that you don't have. What are you talking about? Come here, let me show you. I said, follow me. Let's go. So we went. They followed me down to the pastor's office, went inside, through the double doors, sat on the couch. And I said, look, let me show you what the Bible teaches about going to heaven. Both Roman Catholic, bowed their hearts after about 20 minutes or so, received Christ as Savior, shook my hand, and said, hey, this was worth it. Well, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying God can use you. I was sitting beside a dentist that works over here in Dallas. On the way back, his wife teaches in a school. She's an educator. They live in Arlington. He's a dentist. He's Filipino. She's Filipino. He's a dentist sitting beside me on the plane. And we're riding the whole way. We're on Korean Air for 12 and a half hours. We might as well do something. So we started talking, and we're taking off. He said, what do you do? I said, oh, I preach. Oh, he said, you preach. What do you preach? I said, I'm glad you asked. We were no less than 30 minutes in the air. Led him to Christ. You listen to him? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying it would be very important for us to be able to understand the necessity when you misstep, it's not over. It's not over. Well, preacher, I did wrong and I messed up. Okay, we'll start fresh. Get going again. Crank it up. You ever play football? You play football? You did? Man, all of a sudden you fumble the ball. Did you do this? You fumble the ball. Oh, no. Oh, I fumbled the ball. Fall on the ground, crying. Can you imagine him doing that? Kicking his feet, hitting the ground. I can't believe it. I'll never be used again. No, can't imagine him doing that. You know what I can imagine him doing? Ah, get back over there and go again. That's what God wants you to do in your Christian life. Say, preacher, you don't understand. I messed up, and I messed up big. Okay, then get up and get up big. God saved when I was 18. I said, God, you got everything. I don't care how you use me. I don't care where you use me. I don't have a vote. You just got it all. Use me wherever you want. Do with me whatever you want. It's all yours. I don't care. I don't have a vote. Want me to preach to a small crowd, big crowd, medium crowd? Want me to lead 10 people to Christ my entire life? 10,000? Whatever. God, you want me to write some books for you? Get some truth out? Whatever. I'm just telling you, hey, I'm yours. I'll never take it back. All yours. Are you listening to me? When I did that, the heavens opened. It's been that way ever since. I have no regrets. None. None. It's always been a step. It's always been a step. No regrets. Hey, I'm 51. I'm going to keep going. 61, 71, 81, 91. Heaven. Preacher, you don't understand. It's bad. Here, I'm done. You know, the best part of a message is concluding. That's why most preachers conclude about 4 or 5 times. If you just keep stepping, it'll be okay. But the minute you stop, that's the minute you start to complain, criticize, find fault. I disagree with that. When the heart starts to cool down, come on. That's the minute you look around and everybody's wrong but you. You're chief in charge. When all of a sudden now it's all about me and not even really about him, and you're the important one, before you know it, life just seems to stop having blessings for you, doesn't it? You lose the joy. You come to church and you sit and say, I thought he would never get done. When before you used to come and say, man, that was so good. I could sit for 4 hours and listen to him. He could close 92 conclusions. They're all good. It's in here. It's in here. If we keep that hot, Joey got saved, right? Listen to the internet. I've known Joey for a long time, traveled for miles, hours, come hear me preach when I was up in his area. Listen to the internet one night. I've known him for years. Listen to the internet one night, heard a sermon, podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Podcast, Joey bowed his heart, received Christ. Come on. Brother Mason, thank you for recording those. Tino, thank you. Joey got saved because of that. Thank you. Are you listening to me? Now he's here in Bible college. Training for the ministry. Come on. It's all because you just keep going. You just keep going. So, preacher, it's tiresome. Yeah, I know. Man, I went to bed. Here it is. Last one. But now I got home. I was tired. I said, I'm not going to bed. Not going to do it. I got two sermons to prepare. Couldn't prepare them on the plane. Mine just wasn't there. Too many people snoring. I was tired. Got about 2 hours sleep on the plane. I got a seat where I was sitting. Was the emergency door right next to the corner where they come out with all the food. Had my feet stretched out. Thought, oh, this is going to be so good. They kept running over my feet with the food. I thought, oh, this is painful. So I pulled my feet back in and said, I can't sleep. I can't stretch out. I'll put my feet out. They're going to run over me again. And I'm not even getting the food they're serving. And so I couldn't sleep. It was rough. Got in. Thought, I'm going to stay up. I'm going to make phone calls. Do what I can. I just, no energy. I got to prepare these sermons. I got to get it done. Are you staying with me? All right. Went to bed. Got to bed about 12 o'clock. Thought, man, it's great. I'm gonna go to sleep. It's going to happen. I'm going to go to sleep. Couldn't sleep. I kept turning until 2 o'clock in the morning. Said, I quit. Or about 12:30. I quit. Forget it. I'll just get up and read and pray. So I got up, started reading, started praying. Went back to bed at 2 a.m. Then the alarm went off. Time to take Rebecca, bring her up here to the bus ministry. We always ride together on Sunday morning. And so you know, boy, get up, get ready. Come on. By the way, I borrowed your couch today in your office. Thank you very much. And but, all right, now wait a minute. Here's what it could do. Say, oh, man, I tell you what. I just need to lay down and take a nap. Or you could just keep going. Look, take a misstep. Sin, do something wrong. You always have a forgiving God. God will restore you. God will help you. God will use you.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.